something wrong. It doesn't want to stay. Good evening. Tonight's message is entitled, In God We Trust. I want to start with a quote from Job. Job 13:15a, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If God were to take his life, Job would still trust in his God. The second one is a quote from David in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Can we have this kind of total faith and rest in our God? Let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 139. And I'm going to read all 24 verses. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. Behold, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and darkness and light are both alike to you. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, and in your book they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more than the number than the sand. When I awake, you are still there. I am still with you. Sorry. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do not I loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening's passage from the heartfelt thoughts of David. May we be blessed by the powerful teachings contained in it. May we have comprehension and understanding as we look at it together. Though it may be we learned to trust you more because of all you have invested in us from our DNA to eternity with you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the first six verses, we see God's omniscience. God possesses complete and infinite knowledge. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Verse 1 and 2, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. God has searched us and known us. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical nature, stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Verses 3 and 4, you comprehend my path, my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways, and there's not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. God knows our smallest to greatest thoughts even before we have them. He knows our motives even when we fool ourselves. Verse 5, you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. God uses circumstances to limit our activities. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. God's knowledge is too vast and wonderful for our human minds to grasp. In verse 7 through 12, we're going to see God's omnipresence. Our God is present everywhere at all times. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. In verses 7 and 8, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Psalm 51:10-12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David desired the Holy Spirit watching and guiding him always. Verses 9 and 10, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. From the highest to the lowest we can think of, we cannot remove ourselves from God's watch care over us. Verse 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Darkness and bright daylight are alike to God. No matter where we find ourselves, God is already there. Then in verses 13 through 15, through 18, we're going to look at God's omnipotence. Our God is all-powerful. Psalm 115:3. But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Verses 13 and 14, you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. God initiated and supervised the design and putting together of our DNA. David gives thanks for that power, for he is fearfully and wonderfully made. I was totally amazed when our kids were born, and they came out with hair and fingernails, toenails, and even the little ridges on your fingers and your knees. From day one. And yes, they were complete. I could only see the outside, but God had formed their DNA complete as well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. This is a reference to the work God did while one was still in the womb. In verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. God sovereignly ordered David's life before he was ever conceived. The same is true of each of us. Verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts, O God. How great the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This should be the best sleeping pill ever from the great physician. David was expressing his amazement at the infinite mind of God compared to our finite minds as it relates to the design and building of human beings. God took great care in designing each of us, and those thoughts and care will continue forever for us as believers. In verses 19 through 24, we're going to look at David's obeisance. Verse 19 through 22, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe them who rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. David here shares his hatred for those who reject and hate our God. In verses 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So what is obeisance? It's the falling down before an all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God and asking him to search my heart, to check my thoughts, to know me and lead me in the way everlasting, his way. Philippians 1:6, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What should we learn from this passage? First of all, we are fearfully and wonderfully made inside and out by the transcendent God of all. Secondly, we owe him everything, gratitude, praise, worship, all of which should lead to obedience. Third, therefore we can trust him completely. Think about the circumstances these four men were in when they spoke these words. First one is Job in Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The second one is David in Psalms 56, 3 and 4. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Peter in John 6, 67 through 69. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And finally, Jesus in Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. In our God, we can trust and rest completely. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the passage we have just looked into. We pray that if nothing else, this time will whet our appetites to read and meditate on it further. We thank you for the powerful truths found here relative to our trust in God. We thank you for how you have designed and knew each of us before the foundation of the world. You carried out the building of each of our DNA and our lives thus far. We are so blessed that we can trust in our God from now to all eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.